Hi, I'm Dave Radlauer, and I just want a quick word with you before launching this Pioneering Woman of Jazz profile and interview of Barbara Dane. This is a phenomenal woman, a fabulous blues singer whose life has encompassed folk, blues, jazz, and world ethnic music. During her more than half century in music, Barbara Dane has performed with an amazing musical roster. Blues legends like Lightnin' Hopkins and Memphis Slim, such jazz greats as Earl Hines, Louis Armstrong, Jack Teagarden, Benny Carter, and folk legends like Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, to name just a couple. Early in her career in the 1950s, Barbara Dane was acclaimed in the press, from Time magazine to Playboy, where Leonard Feather called her Bessie Smith in stereo. Welcome to Barbara Dane, A Life in Song. All the time, through the years, joy and tears, just the same. I got that old-fashioned faith in my heart. No changes can tear it apart. Horace Heights Musical Nights, you know, they used to, that was one of the big time national radio shows. They'd go around the country and have these contests, and then they'd put on new artists. So I went and tried out for that thing and won the thing, and they didn't know what to do with me after that. They said, well, okay, let's see, what song will you do now? Why don't you do, let's see. So the only thing the producer could come up with was, why don't you sing Ragtime Cowboy Joe? Do you know that? In those days, I was real serious about reviving all this important music that people had created, all this stuff, and it was needed to get out there, and that was a sort of a mission with me. So I said, no dice. I think it was through that I came to the notice of the people who did the Standard School broadcasts, and they hired me for quite a few of those Standard School broadcasts. Ebony magazine got wind of the fact that there was this white girl down there singing at a place called the Gate of Horn in Chicago fairly regularly, and it was the first time really blues of that sort was introduced to white audiences. So they wound up putting something like 7 or 8 page story with all pictures of me with Mama Yancey and me with Claire Ward singers and me with little brother Montgomery, who was playing part of the time with me in the club gigs, and with Willie Dixon and Memphis Slim and all these people that I was working with. I had a picture of Memphis Slim and Willie Dixon to start it off with, and shows me sitting in with Muddy Waters' band down at this little dive that he played in. I know it was the first time they ever did a feature story on a white woman, feature in Ebony. Was a contest. It was called Miss U.S. Television of San Francisco. Again, I won that one, and you had to have to actually wear a bathing suit and walk around. The prize was a 13-week series. We called it Folksville, USA. So it was a weekly show, and I had to get my own guests, and I remember I had to go out and borrow my own clothing from different clothing stores. You know, it was me. I'd come in and, well, we had a little set that looked like a road. I'd walk down the road, and then walk into a house, and I'd sit down. They had a fire that was made of flickering, you know, rags and a blowing in front of a fan, and a light shining through. It had a firelight shadow. The trees, they are loaded. The limbs are bending down. I pick them all day for... I come from a long line of people in Arkansas. They came to Detroit. My mom was 18. My dad was 22 or 3, and they started a life there, and they never really went back. But they
did not bring their traditions with them or let us involve ourselves with the tradition because they felt that we were in a new place, we should be modern, we should... See, hillbilly was lower than the lowest in Detroit. Hillbillies were scorned people, thought of as ignorant and worthless and that their culture was worthless and so on. So my parents made a great effort to steer us away from all that and just foreclose it. Well, consequently, I grew up feeling like I didn't have any culture, you know. And this, I think, was where this huge cavernous vacuum inside me for culture of all the world's people came from. And I started to try to be everything and sing in every language and do all this. Finally, at some point, I began to go and look for my own roots. And this song really represents that search for where I came from. So that's it. Who's going to shoe my pretty little foot?
Who's going to glove my hand? Who's going to kiss my red and ruby lips? Who's going to be my man?
One of the guys you played with, and this makes a lot of sense to me, is Jack Teagarden.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy that was completely steeped in the blues.
Absolutely. And it made maximum sense to me, and I wish we could have worked together a whole lot more. That was such a wonderful feeling. I mean, the band was great, too. We had Don Ewell in the band, and I forget all who else. Don Goldie was playing trumpet. We toured the whole the East Coast, I don't know, in D.C. and Delaware, and down we played a whole bunch of dates up and down the Northeast. Red Nichols was on the tour, too, so the band bus was those two bands. And little old me, and I was really turned loose by that band. I felt so supported musically. You know, I could just walk right out on the stage and start doing whatever the hell I please, and they would be there, you know.
Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Oh, how do you do? Well, I'm feeling mighty well. Baby, how are you? Well, I got up this morning, the blues are walking all around my bed. I went to eat my breakfast, the same thing in my bread. Well, now the blues ain't nothing but a good gal feeling bad. Oh, now the blues ain't nothing but a good gal feeling bad. Oh, I lost my good man.
Fabulous. Good Morning Blues from what I think is Barbara Dane's best album, her reissued 1957, Trouble in Mind. She certainly has a gutsy sound and a huge voice. I think Barbara Dane has an exceptional feeling for the blues, a keen ability to project its power, a remarkable talent for expressing its deepest emotions, and an ability to fully articulate the eloquence of the blues while refreshing its meaning with a personal voice. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me for Barbara Dane, A Life in Song, a jazz rhythm portrait of an extraordinary, pioneering woman of jazz. As this discussion with the redoubtable Ms. Dane continues, we'll be sampling music from reissues of her early jazz albums, now available on compact disc, starting with what I think is the best of those, Trouble in Mind. Here she's backed by excellent musicians who were some of the finest jazz musicians in the Bay Area at the time in the late 50s, P.T. Stanton, trumpet, and Bob Mielke, trombone, Darnell Howard, clarinet, pianist Don Ewell, and Pops Foster, bass. Incidentally, this next tune, Ain't Nobody Got the Blues Like Me, was penned by the Bay Area bandleader, who introduced Barbara Dane to the San Francisco area's rich traditional jazz scene, the late Dick Oxtot.
Got a nickel, ain't got a dime. I'm broke and hungry all the time. Ain't nobody got the blues like me. And if you can't make me better, why don't you let me be? I had a man, said he loved me too. And since he quit me, don't know what to do. Ain't nobody got the blues like me. And if you can't make me better, why don't you let me be? Ain't got a thing to call my own. I always get the short wishbone. Ain't nobody got the blues like me. And if you can't make me better, why don't you let me be?
This is Dave Radlauer with Barbara Dane. Welcome, Barbara.
Dave, how you doing?
Barbara's been a very active singer in many genres, nationally and based in the San Francisco Bay Area for quite a few years, and began as a well-known folk artist in the 1950s.
Before I got involved with the hot jazz and traditional blues and all of that, I was carrying a guitar around and singing everything I could get my hands on. I always had a very open-minded approach to music because to me it's all one thing, you know. It's just it flows together and it flows apart and flows back together in some other form, and that's what's interesting to me about music. One of the things is that it isn't contained within little boxes.
Going to that high bridge to jump and drown. Ain't nobody got the blues like me. And if you can't make me better, why don't you let me be?
living in Detroit, and in the times I was in, of course there was a lot of blues around, but I didn't know it, really. I was not allowed to go to the black part of town. I lived in a hillbilly ghetto. My folks came from Arkansas, and some record and jacket notes have said things about me singing in some rocking church or something, which is not true at all. I grew up as a Methodist, and they sang with very tight lips and tight hips, man. They didn't rock at all. My other singing experience as a kid was going to high school band, you know, the high school dances and things, they'd always have a kid band playing Embraceable You or something, and so I picked up on those things and sang a lot of the pop songs of the day. But actually, at that time, I was very immersed in trying to bust racial barriers in Detroit and all this kind of social, you know, change. And
let's come back to that and get into some music.
Yeah. I don't remember what gave me the nerve to do it, but when the opportunity came to name a piano player for that record, which became Living with the Blues, I said, why don't we try to get Earl Hines? I was living in L.A. then. Earl was playing at the Hangover with Pops Foster and Darnell Howard, I guess, and a bunch of people, but playing Dixieland, and of course Earl plays a lot more than Dixieland.
What title of the album again? And originally
Living with
the
Blues.
And originally came out on...
On Dot.
Name?
Rocks for my pillow, cold ground my bed, blue sky's my blanket, the moonlight's my spread. But I'm not ashamed, ain't that news? Well, I've been living with the blues. You've ever been down, then you know how I feel. Just like an engine with no driving wheel. But I'm not ashamed of that news. Well, I've been living with the blues. Now the rocks have been my pillow. Cold ground has been my bed. Blue skies all around me. And the moonlight for my spread. Oh, yes, don't believe that I'm sinking, but the hole I'm in. Don't believe I love you. What a fool I've been. But I'm not ashamed of that news. Well, I've been living with the blues. Well, the rocks have been my pillow. Cold ground has been my bed. Blue skies all around me. And the moonlight is my spread. Oh, yes, don't believe that I'm sinking. What a hole I'm in. Don't believe I love you. What a fool I've been. But I'm not ashamed of that news. I've been living with the blues. I've been living with the blues. I've been living with the blues.
Now, you were working with Kenny Whitson.
Kenny Whitson is the piano player who's kind of the most linked with my musical life at the most active part, and the guy was a genius, and unsung genius, unrecorded genius. I mean, the man was, people who heard him, just everyone remembers him. He had a great deal of charm on the stage, but he played...
he played piano and cornet?
Piano and cornet at the same time. He would just keep the cornet up by his right hand, and when he decided to play a chorus, he would just keep on with his left hand and pick up the horn and blow these incredible choruses
wild.
With his right hand. Kenny came on the scene because somebody heard me night after night when I was used to sing at the Ash Grove in Los Angeles. But at the Ash Grove, every night I'd say, I'd really like to work with a piano player. I'm trying out different ones, and I'd have different people come in. I'd hire everybody I heard of around L.A. And one night late after the gig, somebody came in and said, I got the right person for you. I got your piano player. And I want you to hear him. So I just went back into the stage in a, you know, in a dark hall, and Kenny started to play. And immediately I said, this is my man. Fortunately, he was free to, you know, hook up with me and work with me. And we worked together as a duo quite a lot. He developed some songs that he would sing too occasionally, but mainly he always played a couple of boogie woogie features and played the cornet. And, it was just a wonderful thing to have. I'd hire different bass players on different gigs, and he'd say, no. Finally, one day he came to me and says, well, listen, I think I got the answer to this. He says, I found out that Wellman Bro is retired, living nearby here. He was Ellington's first bass player, and when he left Ellington, they hired two bass players to replace him with, so the story goes. He was the one who played on all those incredible hot Ellington
late 20s stuff.
Things.
Yeah.
Of course, he played with Bechet a lot and was one of the stellar rocks on which the hot jazz early things was founded on. He was an incredible bass player. He'd retired, given away his bass, given up any idea of traveling or playing. But Kenny befriended him and convinced him to come on out again and convinced me to hire him. And I was dubious because the guy hadn't played in a long time. He's already like 75 or something. And I had a week-long stand at a club in L.A., and I hired him for that. And the first couple of nights, he was very shaky intonation-wise and so forth, and I thought, oh, this isn't going to happen. By the third night, he started sounding good. By the end of the week, he was sounding fabulous, you know? So we said, Wellman, will you work with us? He said, I won't work with anybody else, but I will work with you, and I will work with you as long as I can. And because he says, I appreciate what you're doing. He appreciated all the kind of things I would talk about on the stage and the whole range of the fact that I was reviving a whole lot of these old blues and things that nobody did. And it was for the love of the music, you know.
So you had Kenny, you had Wellman Bro, and you got together on the 61 session that was done for Capitol.
Of course, record labels always have to add and do their thing. You know, their producer's got to earn his keep, so he got some wonderful studio musicians.
Sleep at night, I can't eat a bite, 'cause the one I love just won't treat me right. It makes me feel so blue, I don't know what to do. Sometimes I sit inside, then I begin to cry, 'cause my goodbye. Oh, I can't read his letters, but I sure can't read his mind. I thought he was loving me, but he was leaving all the time. And now I see that my poor love was blind. Crazy blues since my daddy went away. Ain't got no time to lose, 'cause I must find him today. Well, the doctor's gonna do all that he can, but what he's gonna need is a undertaker man. Ain't had nothing but the crazy blues since my daddy went away. Ain't got no time to lose because I must find him today. Well, the doctor's gonna do all that he can, but what he's gonna need is a Undertaker man. Ain't have nothing but bad news. Mama's got the crazy blues. Oh yeah, Mama's got the crazy blues.
Crazy blues, living with the blues, and Ain't Nobody Got the Blues Like Me. Fabulous performances by Barbara Dane from her now reissued recordings made between 1957 and 1961. Again, during her more than half century in music, Barbara Dane has performed with an unbelievably diverse range of music greats. Blues legends, Lightnin' Hopkins, Big Bill Brunzi, and Jimmy Rushing. Jazz greats like Earl Hines, Louis Armstrong, Jack Teagarden, Lou Waters, George Lewis, and Art Hodes. And folk legends, Pete Seeger, Sonny Terry, and Brownie McGee, to name but a few. During this retrospective, we'll be hearing more from Barbara Dane about her eclectic life and song, her independent and critical view of the music industry, and her ongoing commitment to social reform and radical politics. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. Promotional support provided by the Mississippi Rag, a monthly publication offering traditional jazz and ragtime interviews, history, photos, reviews, and current events. Details at www.mississippirag.com. Next on Barbara Dane, A Life and Song, we'll be hearing from her surprising 1959 Dot record made with Benny Carter, Earl Hines, and Plaz Johnson tenor sax.
If I could be with you 1 hour tonight, free to do all the little things I might. I want you to know, baby, I wouldn't go until I told you, Daddy, how I love you so. If I could be with you, I would love you long. If I could be with you, I would love you strong. I'm telling you the truth. Be anything but blue.
At this point, I should tell you something about how that record got made, because it's a strange story. Dot being Pat Boone's, it was a bunch of really religious, straight-laced folks had this kind of, you know, white buck shoe type label.